First things first this morning, I want to thank guests. Just got a chance to meet this young lady when we were looking for some sources on a story. Marissa Murphy is with us this morning. She's from Family Counseling in Vienna. She is their youth programs coordinator and our guest this morning. Morning, Marissa. How are you today?
Good morning. I'm doing well. How about you?
Good, good. But some people aren't. Here's a question. I've got a lot this morning, but I'm going to have to start kind of the reason I was able to have you as a guest this morning.
Yeah.
I've been talking to parents. And they had been talking to their doctors whenever they take their kids, you know, for their school physicals.
Right.
And the doctors have been saying, especially young doctors that specialize in caring for young humans, that, that they really weren't treating sick kids right now. They were, you know, when I say sick, as if they fell off the bike or the mumps or the measles or whatever it is, right?
Right.
That they were treating kids and had kids in their office that were suffering from stress and anxiety from the COVID-19, that was the medical problem they were facing. Are you seeing something similar in your experience at the family counseling in Vienna?
Yeah, so we have had referrals coming in, parents calling our office, just trying to grab some information about anxiety and kids going back to school, not only for their kids, but for themselves too, and how they could better that conversation with them. I know a lot of times when I talk to parents, that's the number one topic that we're talking about, is what's going on with school, how to support their children, things like that.
All right. When it comes to this anxiety, Marissa, what type of symptoms does this show up when it comes to young folks?
Yeah, so a lot of times people maybe know this but forget at times is adolescents don't show their maybe anxiety, frustration in the same way that adults do. Adults, we're able to tell people, we're able to show. For kids, though, it's hard to get those feelings out, and it's hard for them to understand how to communicate that. So a lot of times you'll see like a temper tantrum, screaming, crying without reason why they're crying, things like that. And even as you get into the 7, 8, 9 range, you're still probably going to see some of that. COVID-19 is something that we have not seen, and this is a new experience for everyone.
All right, when it turns to these symptoms, one of the words that have been often used is acting out. But I mean, when you look at this situation, I don't know if acting out is the right phrase, because there is a reason in their mind, a lot of other people's, to be afraid. And they don't have those mechanisms. They don't have, some people call it thick skin. You know, they don't have the skin for it. And I get that. I don't like the analogy.
Right.
But they don't have those skills. They don't have those learned skills. And even adults, some don't have the learned skills. They run down to the package store and get a bottle. Right.
Yep, I mean, absolutely.
So we all have our own coping mechanisms, but with kids, you have them isolated while at the same time stressed out.
Yep. So right now, a lot of times we have to remember, too, as adults, we have Facebook, text messaging, calling, FaceTime, where if you got a little kid that doesn't have a cell phone, there's no way for them to reach out to other people besides who you're living with. So, you know, letting them FaceTime their friends, letting them have sleepovers over Zoom or something like that, just so they could get that interaction with others.
We underestimate how much we're social animals.
Yes, absolutely. We kind of forget because we use it on the day-to-day basis. I mean, just at work, I've only been here for an hour or so, and I've already been on, you know, social media, emailing people. You know, I have that connection where kids do not.
Right. And see, my first thought is, well, if they're not feeling well and they're stressed out and they have anxiety, then let's give them some medication. But there's got to be something other than here's a pill when it comes to this. And we know enough to be able to at least get a start without saying here's a prescription.
Right. So a lot of times medicine does not equal a cure for anxiety. A lot, it does for some people, don't get me wrong, but especially in younger kids, it's almost like you could think about going to school, going to see a therapist or going to talk to someone about those maybe anxiety feelings. You're giving the kids the tools that they'll need to be able to express how they're feeling. Medication is just going to help with the feeling of nervousness, but you're never going to be able to learn how to talk about it or work through it. So a lot of times medication for young kids is you want to hold off on it because you want to be able to work through those, see if they can use it on their own, be independent learners. And then if they feel like it's still continuing, you know, it's the parents, the child, and therapist, doctor's decision to put on medication.
Right. You're just masking it when the issue. Okay.
Yep.
And I would imagine this has different categories because I see this as a spectrum based on age. How, if you are a parent, a caregiver, a grandparent, and you suspect or you would like to clear the air, how do you start a conversation with a seven-year-old about how they're feeling about what's going on around them? I mean, how does that conversation sound?
Those conversations are sometimes hard. As we know with children, it's hard to get them to open up. But the best advice that I could give here is sitting, having a conversation with them and saying, I understand that there's a lot of uncertainty. I know there's a lot of worry, but I'm here to listen. So tell me about what you're kind of going through, and just kind of validating them and giving them that safe spot to talk. A lot of times, you know, when you're at the dinner table just saying, hey, how's your day going? How you doing? You know, kids can easily just say, I'm fine. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
But when you actually have to sit them down and say, I know these are real feelings, and I know that you probably are feeling some of this. The whole world is. So why don't we talk about it?
Right. That you're not alone. And yep. That's an interesting aspect. You know, I've always kind of envisioned these conversations as not being a group sport.
Yeah.
That one-on-one works better. But on the other hand, mom and dad both want to be in on this. I mean, you got a thought there?
It really depends on the child. I mean, every parent or guardian, caregiver knows that child the best. If you know that they do better with both parents, or even let's just say I'm mom and they do better talking to aunt, maybe let them have that conversation with the aunt. Let them feel like they have a safe spot.
It's informal. I think there's an informality that might be able to prompt people.
Yep, absolutely. Find someone that they really trust and care about, and giving them that space to do it.
All right. Now, part of the problem with the what is there a name for what children are experiencing right now? A more clinical name than my loose anecdotal evidence?
You can classify it as anxiety. I mean, it also could just be a very, you know, school plus COVID-19. That could be the drive force of it. But at the end of the day, you also have to remember that if they're experiencing some anxiety now, I mean, we don't know when COVID is going to end or anything like that. You know, how long is this going to carry on for that child? And it might go with them into adulthood. So anxiety is a good name that you can put on it.
Right. We'll just call it COVID-19. We'll call it C-19 anxiety. How's that?
Yep.
We'll create the name today. C-19 syndrome. How's that?
Love that. Love
okay.
Using it.
C-9 syndrome. Here's the thing. And I was talking with Marissa to let her know exactly what portion of the conversation we were going to have today. And she was sharing something with me that really clicked when we were speaking, that part of the solution for this is to return to school, to return to the regular schedule, to return to the peer group, and that we always feel better when we herded together in this, especially the younger we are. We feel stronger and more confident.
Yeah.
Now, the prospect of that going back to school, which is part of a solution, may not happen for some.
Right. You know, parents are given the option to do remote learning. Some schools are only doing remote learning, things like that. And it's every person's decision on what they feel like is best for their family and their child. But also, I know you and I were talking yesterday about those kids who maybe don't have a supportive home, that being in school would be much better for them, being able to talk to others about what's going on at home.
All right. This is something that we've been hearing about, because this is an interesting dynamic. Your child, you feel isolated, and there's a level of abuse or indifference maybe surrounding you at home. We know there are kids that are in that situation, whether it's food issues or on the list goes, you know, and you're trying to have a conversation. Gosh, I mean, there comes a point where the potential for abuse is a background issue or a foreground issue in this, along with this stress, and the kid further isolates because he doesn't want to draw attention to himself, because that's not worked out well in the past.
Right.
Your aggravation, you're already aggravating kid, we got a problem now. I mean, that's another hairball.
Yep. It's a big issue that we're seeing across the nation, I think. I mean, our DCFS reports have gone down. Back to the whole social media thing, if you're a child who's experiencing this and you have no outlet to reach out to anyone, you're kind of just sitting at home having to, you know, go through it. So, you know, going back to school for some, or at least seeing peers and being social, is going to be awesome on being able to report and being able to talk about what's going on.
It's interesting. Somebody just texted me, says, take the kids to the parks and take them out for some recreational time. And I can tell you, I went to the park last week. It was 77 degrees, and it was loaded with parents and their kids.
Yep.
Right?
Absolutely.
Because that does, that's a pressure relief of sorts.
Yep, not only on the kids, but as the parents as well. I mean, so many people have been laid off, having to work from home, trying to teach their children online. You know, it's stressful for everyone, and being able to connect kid on kid and then adult on adult, you can really talk to them about your frustrations and maybe see what other people are doing too.
All right. So what's your guidance for parents and caregiver? We've isolated the problem. We've isolated some of the symptoms. I mean, when it comes to moving forward, what to do? And at what point do you call someone else and say, I need guidance?
Well, personally, I think everyone should see a therapist because it's just really great to be able to talk about things that maybe you never realized were going on for you. But, I mean, right now we're seeing a lot more referrals come in because of COVID-19 because I think people are allowing themselves to say it's okay to get help. Like, it's almost, COVID-19 is almost an excuse for people to go see therapy. You have the stigma of going to see a counselor, going to see a psychiatrist. That means that maybe you're not okay or you're not as strong. But right now with COVID-19, it's an overall consensus that this is hard and we're really frustrated. So it's okay if you need to go talk to someone. But reaching out, we have multiple, we have a statewide crisis text number. I know in the Southern Seven, we have our crisis line that you can call. We have a website for more information. So the resources are out there, and it's absolutely okay to reach out because that's what we're here for.
You know, I find that interesting that the circumstances have given approval, they give you a sense of tacit approval
yep.
to be able to go seek help, whereas before you just would have said, well, I'll sit in the corner and cry.
Right.
You know, and I don't mean that as a flippant way of looking at it because I know people tell me on no uncertain terms.
Right.
Yeah, I cry on the way home from work.
And that's okay.
That way
is actually really good for the brain.
Because I don't want the kids to see me. I don't want the husband and wife to see me. I've had a really hard day. This is my time alone. I can take a good cry on the way home, clean up, and go in and be happy with the kids. But there comes a point where if you keep doing that, then, you know, talk to somebody. And, you know, when it comes to it, because I'm a big fan of having great friends, right, to talk to. Because that's a form of therapy.
Yeah, absolutely. I want to almost flip the script on you for a minute. And thinking about going to see a counselor, how is that different from going to see your doctor for a physical?
Well, if you're a guy, you don't go see him for a physical anyway because you're invincible and I'm going to live forever.
Very true. So let's say you broke your wrist and you're like, I know it's hurting. I got to go to the doctor.
Right. Why wouldn't you? If you broke your brain, why wouldn't you go?
Yep, absolutely.
Because I'm a man, damn it.
Men, it's okay to go to counseling, too.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, I think there are some incidents right there where I understand what you're saying. Kids and not going back to school, I'm wondering how this is going to work out on top of the other stuff.
Yeah. I think all of us are kind of in the same boat there. We're just almost, all of us are crossing our fingers and hoping that it's going to be okay when really it's very uncertain for everyone at this time. Even for, I know us with counselors, we're wondering, like, are we going to be able to go see the kids at school for their counseling sessions? We haven't been able to see them since March.
Right.
Like that. And so I think together we need to just work and make sure that we're providing our kids with the support and love that they're needing.
Marissa Murphy, she's with Family Counseling in Vienna, the Youth Programs Coordinator for Family Counseling in Vienna. If somebody wants to call after hearing you today and talk to you about this,
yeah.
What counties do you cover?
We cover Union, Pope, Pulaski, Massac, Alexander, Hardin, and Johnson.
All right. And if they want to get a hold of you, how's the best way?
You can call our office number. It also doubles as our crisis line number. It's 618-658-2611.
How could you illustrate to people who are listening now how this load is increased, how this has grown? Is there some math or some anecdotal evidence that you can use to explain how this has exploded?
Well, I'm not good at math. That's why I'm a counselor.
Yeah.
But I will say that our referrals have gone up, and we're seeing a lot more parents calling in asking for guidance and help. We also once a month provide a parent support group online right now, and we have seen the best numbers that we have had in since we started it. So a lot of parents are reaching out, a lot of kids are reaching out, trying to grab some support from others.
Is there an age group that seems to be once more susceptible than the other, say 5 to 7 or 10 to 12? Is there one area that seems to be more susceptible to this?
So I would say before COVID-19, it was probably around the 8 to 18 age. And right now I've been seeing a lot more referrals come in for ages 5 through 7.
Right.
I think it's hitting everyone.
You don't normally see 5 through 7, do you, very often?
We have a few clients, but not very often.